Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Local news roundup. Museum events. The Petroleum Museum, 501 West Wall Street, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Monday, October 11th and 18th, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Steam Sprouts, Lego Steam Park, ages 4 through 5. Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Building Bots, Robotics and Engineering Fun Lab for grades K through 2. October 14th, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Brown Bag Lunch and Lecture Series with Rebecca Dodge. Drinks and dessert provided. Admission is free. October 19th, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Building Bots, Robotics and Engineering Fun Lab for grades 3 through 6. October 20th through the 22nd, Steam Break, Mad Science, half-day or full-day options, grades 1 through 6. October 28th, Family Science Night, 2GO, Spooky Science Spectacular, Free Family Science Experiment and Activity Boxes. All materials and information needed for experiments are included. Demonstrations start on Facebook at 6:30 p.m. Pre-registration and pickup sign-up required. Pre-registration is required for all STEAM, Fun Lab, and Spooky Science Spectacular events. To pre-register or for more information, visit petroleummuseum.org. Medicare Open Enrollment. The Area Agency of the Permian Basin on Aging Regional Planning Commission has scheduled two Medicare Open Enrollment events from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on the following dates and locations. October 26th, Southside Senior Center, 900 South Dixie Boulevard. October 28th, Northside Senior Center, 1225 North Adams Avenue. Benefits counselors will be available to assist Medicare beneficiaries explore new choices. Fur Ball Benefit. The 10th Annual Fur Ball, benefiting the Midland Humane Coalition, A Night to Remember, a masquerade party, has been scheduled from 6 p.m. to midnight October 30th at the Petroleum Club, 501 West Wall Street, Midland. There will be dinner, live and silent auctions, open bar, photo booth, and casino games. Entertainment will be presented by West Texas Funk. Tickets are $150. Sponsorships are available. To sponsor, for tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/XCSCDHV8. Obituaries and death notices from the Odessa American for Sunday. Carmen Estrada, 91, of Odessa, passed away on Sunday, September 26th. Carmen was born May 5th, 1930. Carmen is survived by Juanita and Antonio Barone, Raul and Christina Estrada, Sergio and Maria Estrada, Ramiro and Dora Estrada, Argueta and Donnie Ortega, Norma and Adrian Chavaria, Martha and Lencho Martinez. Carmen is preceded in death by spouse Benedicto Estrada, sons Tona Ruiz, Hector Estrada, Irene Estrada, and Martha Estrada. She has 30 grandchildren and 49 great-grandchildren and 13 great-great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held Tuesday, October 5th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home. Mass will be held at St. Joseph Catholic Church on Wednesday, October 6th at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Aiden Rodriguez Ramirez, 79, of Odessa, passed away on September 25th. Aiden was born on August 10th, 1942, to Reynaldo and Francisca Ramirez in Terlingua, Texas. Aiden is preceded in death by his father and mother, sister Eva Guerrero, and brothers Raul and Cipriano Ramirez. He is survived by his wife Lucinda, children Melissa, Michael, and wife Jessica, and Andrew and wife Tiffany, 13 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren, as well as brother Tony Ramirez and sister Michaela Flores. Visitation will be held from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday, October 4th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home, with a recitation of the Rosary at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, October 5th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, with Father Chavez officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Robert Dale Bobby Enzer passed from this life at Madison Medical Resort in Odessa on Saturday, September 11th, at the age of 85. He was born in Bearden, Arkansas, on Monday, June 1st, 1936, to the late Robert Lawrence and Leela Lamb Enzer. In addition to his wife, Wanda, and his parents, Bobby is preceded in death by his son, Rusty Enzer, and 3 sisters, Josie Wooten, Jane Wooten, and Jerry Jennings. Those left to cherish his love and memories are his sons, Bobby Dean and wife Christine, and Tommy Enzer and wife Angela, all of Odessa. Sister Jessie Shadle and her husband Ken, as well as 11 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces, nephews, and extended family. Memorial services will be held on October 9th at Kingston Avenue Baptist Church at 11 a.m. Condolences to the family may be sent online at AcresWestFuneral.com. Johnny Faye Whittington, age 81, passed away at MCH in Odessa on Tuesday, September 28th. Born in Dallas on September 3rd, 1940, to the late Lonnie Okola and Mary Ann Cooper. Those left to cherish her love and memory are her daughters, Janon, Hissaw, and husband Bobby, and Mona Williams and husband Pat of Odessa, son Pedro Tejerina IV of Houston, sister Wanda Trigg of Sumter, South Carolina, 10 grandchildren, 12 great-grandchildren, and 2 great-great-grandchildren, and numerous extended family members and friends. In addition to her parents and loving husband Paul, she is also preceded in death by her siblings, sisters Billy, Betty, and Lula Blackshear, brothers Waldrum Blackshear, Doyle, and L.R. Cooper, and great-grandchildren Lexi Hamill and Hunter Hissaw. Visitation at Acres West Funeral Chapel begins on Tuesday, October 5th at 1 p.m. Funeral services will be at Acres West at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, October 6th, officiated by Pastor Lindell Lee. Burial is to follow at American Heritage Cemetery in Midland County. Condolences may be sent to the family online at acreswestfuneral.com. Denise Day Haynes, 58, of Odessa, passed away on September 24th at home, surrounded by family and friends. Denise was born in Wichita Falls, Texas, on March 6, 1963. Denise is preceded in death by her parents, James and Betty Larimore. Denise is survived by husband Mike Haynes, son Stephen Conant, and his wife Jessica, and their 2 children, son Corey Haynes and his wife Allison, and their son Dustin Conant and his wife Melanie, their 2 sons, son Stephen Haynes and his wife Elizabeth, their 3 daughters, daughter Megan Haynes and Logan Jackson, sisters Deb Palmer and her husband Ed, Donna Blattner and her husband Steve, Diana Hall and her husband Richard. Denise's memorial will be held at Gardendale Church on October 17th at 11 a.m. in Gardendale, Texas. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Ronnie Ann Walcott, 59, of Odessa, passed away on September 28th at Odessa Regional Medical Center in Odessa. Ronnie was born on December 7, 1961, to Ronnie Walcott and Sandra Lou Bunch in Bedford, Indiana. She is survived by four children, Bridget Ann Balderas, Tricia Maria Balderas, Sarah Balderas and husband Robert Sains, and Emigio Balderas, Jr. 10 grandchildren, her mother Sandra Lou Bunch Cox, two brothers, Brian Gene Walcott and Neil Cox, Jr., and father of her children, Emigdio Balderas, Sr., and biological father, Ronnie Gene Walcott. She is preceded in death by her father, Charles Neil Cox, and one sister, Kelly Lynn Staggs, as well as grandparents, Pawpaw and Mama Bunch. Visitation will be held on Monday, October 4th, from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., at American Heritage Funeral Home. A prayer service will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Funeral services will be on Tuesday, October 5th at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home with Cambry Allison officiating. Burial immediately following at American Heritage. Kimberly Diane Lynch Frederick, 51, of Odessa, died Sunday, September 26th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. October 4th at Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Mr. Stephen Adair is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. And Adina G. Garcia, 66, of Odessa, died Sunday, September 26th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 5th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Burial to be held at Ector County Cemetery, the Los Angeles section. Father Frank Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Ruben Munoz, Jr., 63, of Odessa, died Tuesday, September 21st in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 2 p.m. Friday, October 15th, at La Margarita Fairgrounds in Odessa. Burial will be held privately at a later date. Father Frank Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Celia Mendoza Porras, 85, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 23rd in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Friday, October 8th, at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Rose Hill section. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 4th. Communities in Schools Now Offering Counseling. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Long-term mental health counseling is now part of the services that communities and schools of the Permian Basin offers to students. The nonprofit, which has been focused on dropout prevention, has expanded from Odessa and Midland to Pecos Barstow Toya to Big Spring. Previously focused on secondary campuses in the basin, Communities and Schools is now offering services to Dowling and Goliad Elementary Schools, and just recently, Murray Fly. The mental health offerings started last summer. Quote, "It's really an effort from the Communities and Schools side to do more of the preventative maintenance," Executive Director Alicio Elizondo said. They found that other CIS affiliates were serving elementary campuses, and the one here was one of the few that didn't. The approach is to catch youngsters as early as possible with the goal of connecting them and their families with needed resources and getting them off on the right foot academically. Quote, there's academic support, and then there's a lot of social-emotional learning. SEL is the buzzword right now, but really it is teaching these kids at a young age how to deal with adverse situations and the proper response to feeling anxiety and tension and things that make them mad or uncomfortable, Alessandro said. Continuing the quote, it's twofold for us on that front, because we're hoping to have the preventative maintenance and have the ripple effects that prevent some of those situations. Some of the students that we deal with, by the time they become teenagers, honestly, were doing a lot of damage control at that point, he said. They are trying to stop any issues before they start. Quote, but on the social-emotional learning, we're trying to head off especially the mental health issues that will develop when these kids get off on the wrong foot and don't know how to deal properly with those situations, Alessandro said. He noted that there are certain indicators that children are at risk, as defined by the Texas Education Agency. This is so CIS can be on the same page as the districts. At a young age, not too many of those factors should come into play, but they do for students that are severely at risk, Alessandro said. Quote, there's a high need for social services. Teachers, counselors, and administrators already see kids acting out, having issues at school, and so often those are strong indicators and not necessarily defined on paper, but you can start to see the responses that they have. They're acting out. The lack of interest in academics has already started at that point because they're dealing with other stuff. End quote. If youngsters are dealing with situations at home, like hunger or sleeping in their car, for example, coming to school is a release valve for them. Quote, you see kids in kindergarten, first grade, acting out and throwing things at teachers and cussing people out. I don't think a lot of the public realizes that, Alessandro said. The age range of children communities and schools serves is 5 to 18 or 19. Alessandro said the mental health component is not in the standard communities in schools model. Quote, there are only a few affiliates, actually, that offer that type of mental health support, and we're now one of those few affiliates, he said. Jesse Morgan, program manager of mental health support, said it's part of removing barriers to success for children. And students the last couple of years have been dealing with a lot, the mass shooting, the pandemic, trauma, previous grief, and everyday issues, so they are in need of mental health support more than ever before. Quote, we've gotten lots of referrals already, Morgan said. She added that it will impact about 300 students this school year. Along with professional counseling, peer support groups also are offered. Quote, kids love groups, and research shows that groups can be more effective than individual counseling at times. That doesn't mean that what we're doing with the individual counseling isn't important, but just being with other kids, knowing that you're not the only one going through this huge loss or change, can really impact the student, and also gives them a chance to find purpose for their pain as they walk other peers through that and offer support, guidance, etc., for what's worked for them. It's definitely a process that works that we believe in fully, Morgan said. Alessandro said the response from the school district has been extremely positive. Quote, I think most of them realize you can't have enough therapists and counselors. There's more than enough work to go around, Alessandro added. The grant-funded program provides free counseling at school during the school day, Morgan said. Quote, you don't have to have transportation, you don't have to have money, you don't have to have anything. You just have to be at school. We have to get a parent consent form signed, and that we just come to your school and see you at a convenient time," she said. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center had been offered the telepsychiatry to students. Morgan said they referred to Texas Tech psychiatry as needed. Quote, "We're not here to replace what they're doing. We're just kind of here to also be an extra layer of support to the students, which students can never have enough support. So it's all hands on deck there. If something happens, we can do teletherapy. During the summertime, if they don't want to come up to the office here, we can do teletherapy. So we do offer teletherapy as well, but we prefer in person," Morgan said. ECISD has a layer of academic counselors and SAS counselors, which provide crisis response. Quote, "We are not here to provide crisis response. The SAS counselors are still doing that. This is for the kids that need the long-term care and support. We're seeing them for long-term sessions, setting goals, treatment plans, all of that giving them the professional counseling experience just at their school," Morgan said. Previously, the CIS case managers would make referrals to outside agencies. Morgan said Communities and Schools was up for a state grant to provide mental health, but it fell through, so Elizondo said with his and Morgan's stubbornness, they got funding. Elizondo said they got back to what was his plan A. He said there are benefactors who have given them support. Morgan said students have the option of coming to the CIS office in Odessa or Midland or doing telehealth. Along with Morgan's four-person team, they also have an online database they use specifically for grief counseling if needed. Quote, "If for some reason, like we have some that are kind of further out district like Pecos, are not ideal for them to, you know, see one of us all the time, so they can go in our coordinator's office and meet with a grief counselor online in the office," Morgan said. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 24,998 total cases, 490 deaths. Midland County, 26,831 total cases, 342 deaths. Texas, 4,083,305 total cases, 65,785 deaths. U.S. cases, 43,533,168 total confirmed cases, and 698,672 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TCTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Here are some Odessa American quick hits. Exhibit: The Ellen Noel Art Museum at 4909 East University Boulevard has scheduled Finding Alice, an illustrated look at Alice's adventures in Wonderland, exhibit through January 2nd, 2022. Museum hours are noon to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday and noon to 8 p.m. on Thursday. Admission to the museum is free. Visit noelartmuseum.org/exhibitions. Event: Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service has scheduled an in-person event from 9 a.m. to noon Wednesday at the Sibley Nature Center Community Garden, 1307 East Wadley Avenue in Midland. Speakers include AgriLife Extension Agent Abigail Pritchard, who will share information on canning and preserving your garden harvest. Extension Vegetable Specialist Russ Wallace of Lubbock will talk about growing vegetables, and Permian Basin Master Gardener Debbie Rowland will talk all about raising backyard chickens. For more information, call Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, County Extension Agent Horticulture Jeanette Castagnon at 432-686-4700 or visit agrilifeextension.tamu.edu.
Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Odessa American for Monday, October 4th, Local News Roundup. NBWW Awards and Banquet. Uptown Midland Business and Professional Women, BPW, will honor Carmen Hendricks Bryant at the 2021 Woman of Achievement at the annual National Business Women's Week Banquet at 6 p.m. October 18th at the Petroleum Club, 501 West Wall Street, Midland. A silver auction will take place benefiting MD Anderson. Table sponsorships, tickets, and underwriting opportunities are available. Sponsorships and tickets are available for purchase at www.midlandbpw.com. For more information, call Leslie Donnell at 432-533-3752 or Leslie, LESLEY.Donnell, DONNELL, at RobertHalf.com or Shelley Robbins Young at 432-238-1777 or Stacy Nelson at 432-967-0080. Night of Light. Crossroads Church, 6901 East Highway 191, has scheduled Night of Light Trunk or Treat event from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. October 30th. Prizes will be awarded to the top three favorite decorated vehicles. Volunteers and candy donations are needed. Candy donations may be dropped off in the collection tubs in the church lobby. To register your decorated vehicle or for more information, visit crchurch.cc/events. Cancer Sucks Fest. West Texas Gifts of Hope has scheduled Cancer Sucks Fest featuring the Eli Young Band October 30th at La Hacienda. Special guests will be Brian Milson and Treaty Oak Revival. The event benefits West Texas Gifts of Hope. General admission is $40 pre-sale or $50 at the door. Tickets are available at stubwire.com. To sponsor, call 432-614-9284 or email odessa.hopehouse@gmail.com. For more information, visit westtexasgiftsofhope.org. Shedding and asymptomatic, etc. To your good health for Saturday. Dear Dr. Roach, recent column, you wrote that there is no risk to family from shedding after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. You failed to mention that according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the grandparents could catch COVID and spread it even after being fully vaccinated. Also, according to the CDC, they might be contagious and have a viral load even before they start showing any symptoms. Isn't the only way to ensure they are not contagious to be tested? Dr. Roach writes, the topic of that column was shedding after a vaccine, and it is true there is no risk of shedding COVID-19 from the vaccination. However, you are correct that it is possible for a vaccinated person to have active asymptomatic infection. New data from the age of the Delta variant shows that asymptomatic vaccinated people may indeed be infectious. For this reason, wearing a mask remains important, especially around people at high risk for complications for COVID-19. That includes vaccinated individuals. It is very important to note the risk of asymptomatic infection spreading from a vaccinated person, which is much lower than from an unvaccinated person, simply because someone who is vaccinated is a lot less likely to get COVID-19.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.